Welcome to Leaders and Learners. My name is Tanya McKenzie, and you can find me at the intersection of public relations and leadership. Join us as we talk to organizational leaders, elected officials, experts, authors, artists, and personalities, sharing their stories, talking about how they got to where they are and how they continue to learn and lead the way. So without further ado, let's get into it. Greetings, good people. Welcome to another episode of Leaders and Learners, where you all know that the best leaders are lifetime learners. We're going to learn a lot about an amazing producer today. I want to tell you about a movie that's coming out. Now, y'all know I don't get too excited about a lot, but if I have the opportunity to laugh, I'm all for it. We are going to talk about the new movie that's coming out May 10th. Yes, that is tomorrow. Mother's Day weekend, please make sure you find a mama, your sister that might be a mama, your mama that needs to laugh, any mama you know, and take them to see Not Another Church Movie. It's a hilarious comedy. It's directed by Mr. James Michael Cummings, and we are going to bring him right in. What you do need to know is this man financed, co-directed, and plays five characters in this upcoming movie. I have no idea how he does it. His cast is phenomenal. And we have the opportunity to chat with him today and see how he's able to pull all this together, all these amazing people together, and bring us the medicine that we need, the medicine we call comedy. Hello, Mr. Cummings. How are you?
Very good, Tanya. Thank you for asking.
I am thrilled to have you here and have some of your time. I know you're busy. You guys are about to kick off this movie, but I want you to tell the people why this movie and why now.
Well, I was the co-director of this movie, but Johnny Mack, he directed this movie, and I had the opportunity to do this with him. You know, I've been doing this for a long time, and when Johnny Mack first brought this screenplay to me, I read it. And I thought it was hilarious. And, you know, I thought that, wow, if we could make this movie, it could be really funny. Now, I didn't realize at the time that it was going to take such a long time to get made. But that's because the business changed. And in order to make a movie, it had to be a sequel or a pre-existing property or something like that. But see, this movie, it had so much heart and it was so funny and it was so personal to Johnny Mack that I just, you know, felt the need to make this movie because if there's anything in the world we need to do, it's laugh.
Yeah, we need laughter. We need entertainment. We need people to take us out of these dark moments that we seem to be having. And I saw the trailer and I'm all in. But what I really want to know is how did you get this? Talk to us about the cast. And how were you able to get these amazing people to buy on?
Well, it was really amazing. But the first person who said they would do this movie is Jamie Foxx. Jamie, you know, he let Johnny Mack know that, hey, buddy, you've been here for all these years. You make a movie, I'm going to be there for you. And, you know, Jamie let me know that. And it was about putting the cast together. So the next person we went through is Mickey Rourke. Mickey, you know what? That guy is awesome. He got the joke immediately, laughed his ass off. He showed up. He knew all his lines. You know, Vivica Fox, she read it. She's like, I'm in. You know, Tisha Campbell's like, I'm in. And right when those actors and actresses started bringing themselves to the picture, it was like, well, wait a minute. We got to find Taylor Ferry. Who is that? So he brought in Valerie McCaffrey, who is a superb producer and casting director. She read the script and she goes, Jimmy Cummings, it is Kevin Daniels. That's who you need to play Hodge, Hims, and Taylor Ferry. And we sent the script to him. We made him an offer. And when he said yes, we had a start date.
Now, you're not new to this. As they would say, you're true to this. You've been in this business for a long time. We happen to have an audience of people that may be struggling with how they can become successful in this industry. Talk to me about the early stages of your career and how you got to where you are now.
Well, I started out as an actor, and what I remember, I had a great job working for General Electric Company. I made a lot of money, and for me to become an actor was, it was not an opportunity for me because I lived in Boston, Massachusetts, and I had a heavy Boston accent. I had an acting teacher there. I was 19 years old. And she said to me, if you want to be an actor, you have to move to New York City. And, you know, it's only 212 miles away, but it is a totally different place. And, you know, I first got on the stage, and back then there were no cell phones. There was no internet. In order for you to get a job, you had to get a backstage. You had to go wait in line to do an audition, and you had to hope for the best. So I took my career into my own hands because there was a moment where I thought, they're never going to choose me in these lines. I'm never, ever going to make it. And I looked at Sylvester Stallone's career and I was like, look, he wrote a movie. Maybe I can do that. So like, I wrote a movie called Southie, and I made it with Donnie Wahlberg, Rose McGowan, Amanda Peet, Lawrence Tierney. And that was my first movie. And, you know, then I put together another movie called The Fighter with Mark Wahlberg. And, you know, I co-starred on the show City on a Hill that was produced by Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, Chuck McClain. And, you know, all that time, working on all these things, and I looked at Johnny Mack's movie and I said, you know, this movie's funny, man. Like, this is a funny movie. I never got a chance to really make a comedy, to make a funny movie. And when I would give it to people, they would say, why do you want to do this? I said, because it's hilarious, you know. And eventually all of the things that I'd done in my past came to this moment. And this is what I want to say to you. If you want to be successful, you have to write down what it is you want. And you have to envision yourself getting it. You have to know that you have it. And then it all just kind of comes together for you.
When you worked with Matt and Ben Affleck, was that early in your career?
Actually, that was about 5 years ago. And okay. That show was called City on a Hill. It's on Showtime. You know, Chuck McClain is literally, you know, like I said, I had starred in the movie Southie. I had met Matt Damon and Ben Affleck when they came to South Boston to actually shoot Good Will Hunting, because we had just finished our movie and they were just starting their movie. And, but it's funny because, you know, we were in the editing room. So we shot before them. We were in the editing room, and by the time we finished our movie, they were on the stage at the Oscars accepting Oscars.
Wow.
That's how long it takes. That's the difference between an independent movie and a movie that's, you know, made by like Miramax or a company like that.
What kind of impact did working with them and some of the others have on you taking this opportunity to be a producer and a co-director? Like, did you bring anything with you from those experiences?
Absolutely. I think that the best experience I probably had was with, you know, John Shea and Donnie Wahlberg and Dave McLaughlin, but really with Donnie Wahlberg, because the thing about him was he was in the music business. He was a music producer, you know? And as you know, a song is a story, you know, a song is a story. And the thing about Donnie was he understood how to tell a story, you know, he knew how to do that. So when we actually made the movie Southie, like that was a screenplay. It was 120 pages or whatever. And that was the very first thing I'd ever written. And when it came time to shoot the movie, after we had shot for a couple of days, we were like, wow, this is a little overwritten. So we started like, you know, working on the dialogue, and it was kind of learning as we go. And John Shea directed that movie, and we had a really like tight crew on that. So by the time I started working with you know, Chuck McClain and Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, by the time that situation came about, I was seasoned. So when we went into Boston to lock that down, that was like easy for me.
Tell me about, and tell me if I'm pronouncing this wrong, Xavier Baird?
Xavier Baird. He is awesome, man. He plays Calvin in this movie. Okay, now talk about somebody who's gonna become a star. Remember that name, Xavier Beard, because that kid, you know, we only had him in one scene. And what happened was we had to cut some scenes out because we were a little over budget. And after he acted, Johnny Mac came and he's like, Jimmy, we gotta put that scene in. We gotta spoof the Boys in the Hood. We gotta use Xavier. I said, you know what, Johnny Mac, you're right. So we went off to the side, we pulled out a pen, we wrote that scene down. We got the cinematographer. We went onto a side street, said, how can we pull this together? And we put that scene together. So when we spoof the Boys in the Hood, know that it's Xavier Baird's talent that made us bring that scene back into the story.
Well, let's go ahead and bring him on. Xavier, hi, how are you?
Hey, how you doing? Doing all right today? What's up, baby? How you doing, man?
That's my guy right there.
Yeah, that's my guy too.
So let us know, how did you wind up getting involved in this show with this script?
Oh, it was truly a blessing. I had my agent reach out to me with an audition, and I was going through a hard time at that time, a transition from moving to a different place, waiting for actually the place I'm living at this moment. Sorry, I was just getting home. But it was definitely a blessing because I had auditioned for it, and I had my little cousin Reed for the role, and I just did an okay job. I was waiting to hear back from everyone, and you know, it was truly a blessing to be a part of this film because, you know, I eat, sleep, and breathe acting. So,
you are from North Carolina?
Yeah, born and raised in Asheville, North Carolina.
So, how did you wind up here? Like, what? Talk to me about that.
Johnny Mac, and you know,
Johnny Mac. I keep hearing about Johnny. Johnny just got his hands in everything, huh?
Yes. Johnny and James, they really liked me. They liked my tape. Like I said, I was going through a hard time. I was actually, like I said, I was leaving my apartment and I was trying to find a different place, and it just took a little bit of time. So I was couch surfing and going through a little rough time. And then I finally got a call back from them, and they gave me an interview, and they said they just wanted to talk to me. And it was just truly a blessing because, you know, this film just changed my life, and I'm just so thankful and honored for it. So,
and I know you recently lost someone that was important to you. Can you talk to us about that and how it has played a role in your ability to be able to take on different characters and play this role?
Yeah, I lost my mom a few years ago, Sharon Beard. I actually lost her to the first show that I did, MacGyver, while I was on set. I just learned and had to go back out there and act. And so it was really dear to me. So I just put all my pain, my love, my passion, my tears into the craft of acting because, you know, I just love to do this. So that was a really big thing for me. It's actually her birthday today. And it's kind of crazy because the film got pushed back a little bit because they were, you know, they had some things they were working on. And it's just amazing how everything lined up at the perfect time and opportunity. And then, you know, the movie comes out, you know, a preview tonight and then officially tomorrow. So,
well, let's save this for your mother, right? You know, just yesterday they decided they were going to premiere this movie tonight, right? Yeah. Like on the 9th. So May 9th, it's premiering in all major cities. And Xavier, I got to tell you, this must be a birthday present for you and your mom because that just happened 2 days ago, buddy.
Man, it's amazing just to. Man, this feeling is just, it's amazing, man. My mom would be so proud, you know,
and my when family would be very proud. When she found out that you wanted to be in acting, is it something that you've always wanted to do? Or is this something that started to become a passion later on in your life? And what was her thoughts about it?
Later on in life, about 7 years ago, I had an ex-girlfriend of mine. She thought I was kind of funny. So she was like, why don't you try to model? I'm like, model? I don't know if I want to do that. I was playing college football at the time. And then, I just got into acting and fell in love with it and just been grinding ever since then. So,
man, so when you first started, were you in North Carolina? Like there's acting opportunities in North Carolina? I'm just playing.
look.
slight shades.
Yeah, a little bit. I'll take it.
Because it looked like that Charlotte on your hat, and I'm a Warriors fan, yes. So I'm... You might get a little shade. You might get a little shade.
We can take it now. I can take that.
So what kind of jobs were you doing in North Carolina, though, in acting and comedy? Have you been on a stage with a mic to make the people laugh? Like, what were you doing before you jumped on over here? Are you in California now? I'm guessing yeah.
I come back and forth and then Atlanta, so kind of in that area. But I had started acting. I got signed to a place called Screen Owners Talent. It was here in Asheville, North Carolina. So I had been auditioning for a while. This is my first movie, so it's definitely a blessing. I've done so far. MacGyver was my first role. I did that, a show called P-Valley, a show called Step Up on Stars, a show called Swaggers, an NBA basketball show with Kevin Durant. And then, you know, from this movie, before then, Atlanta with Donald Glover. So it's just definitely been a blessing. You know, it's been a ride, a journey, and I'm loving every, you know, part of it and every opportunity that comes.
So talk to us about this character that you played in the spoof of Boys in the Hood.
Okay. Calvin is a guy that's been left back a while. He, you know, the one guy that's in high school that tries to be cool with all the young kids. He's that guy. So a little lame, but, you know, he still finds, you know, comfortability in himself. So it was just a blessing having that line. And thank you so much, James, you and Johnny, for that, man, because it's an iconic line from Boys in the Hood. And, you know, it was just a blessing to be able to see it on screen, man. It really panned out well, so.
Listen, man, you were amazing. And, you know, Johnny Mack, like I had said to her earlier, that, you know, once we did that one scene with you, we knew that wasn't enough. And then Johnny Mack, like, Jimmy Cummins, man, we got to put this scene in. And I said, you know what, dude, you're right. You know, and you really made it happen. I mean, you and Jade and the other guy, the other gentleman he's in the scenes with, he's another young guy. These two handsome guys, just you have no idea. They jump off the screen, man.
Yeah, it was such fun, and I'm so thankful for that, man. Like, it was hot. I looked like a glazed donut down there. I was sweating so hard. You know I'm light-skinned, so I can say that.
It was 120 degrees that night or something. It was insane.
I saw my grandma, and I came home dark-skinned. I was dark.
Listen, James, talk to us really quick about the multitude of characters and personalities that you had to wrangle to make this happen. And how do you get a bunch of talent like that to gel the way that you need to for this project to turn out the way that you envision it turning out?
Well, you know, the education that I got came from Benny Richberg Jr., who worked, you know, did the Jamie Foxx show, the Martin show. And, you know, he had explained, like, Benny was like, Jimmy, you know, that Tyler Perry is becoming a franchise. And, you know, any great franchise, you have to spoof it. Like, you know, so that's Benny telling me that. And then he had told me about the script. So then when I read it, and then when I met Johnny Mack, you got to understand what Johnny Mack's dedication was like. He showed up my office every day for 4 years. Like, we would go out to lunch, we would laugh about these scenes, we would talk about who it is we're going to cast in this. And when he described, for instance, the character Calvin, right, he described who he wanted in this thing, right? And believe it or not, Xavier's the guy. Like, so that particular character, that had to work in order for this movie to work. But see, like, just talking about him with each character, when it comes to Jasmine Guy, I had worked with Jasmine Guy on a movie called Diamond Men. She had done that with Donnie Wahlberg. I ended up working on that movie with them. And I remembered her. And then, right, like, it was wild because when we talked about Miss Mildew, right, I said it to Johnny Mack. He just started laughing. Like, so it's like Benny Richberg educated me on what it is that it would take to make, like, a movie like this funny. And getting together with Johnny Mack and then taking our time and making sure we were casting the right people. So most times, once you get a star, like once you get, you know, Jamie Foxx, and once you get Mickey Rourke and Vivica, like, all the stars want to come to it, right? But the thing is a movie like this, it's not just about the stars. You need the right people. And then when you think that way, the right people, they really are stars. And that's what Xavier is. And that's what everybody in this movie, you're going to notice each character is unique and has their own star quality.
I love that. I had Vivica on not too long ago, and we talked a lot about the independent world, right? Talk to me about how you make an independent film work. What is that in you and your team and your crew to make an independent project do well?
Well, let's look at it like this. You can make the greatest toy in the world, but if you don't have a store to sell that toy, no one's going to get to play with it. So the goal here was, well, let's make sure we can sell the movie before we make it, right? So what we did is we raised the money to sell the movie before we made the movie, because we wanted to know that if we make a great toy, we make a great movie, we can put it in a store where everybody can buy it. So, you know, that came to me after years and years of raising the money to make movies and then not being able to make them because I couldn't find the right company to make them with. It's because you got to find out what the companies want before you make them. You got to find out what the people want so you can sell it. So you can meet the need with the want. And I believe that in my lifetime, that's what I learned how to do, you know?
Now, Xavier, you said this is your first film. It is independent. Talk to me about that experience. Is it what you expected? Did you enjoy the experience? Talk to us about that.
Oh, yeah, I loved it. I mean, comedy is a big thing of mine. I mean, naturally, I'm a goofy dude, man. So,
Yeah, with that hat on.
Oh, with his hat. Look, we're going to keep showing it now. Let's throw a little shade at you. Come on now, Tanya.
I'm sorry. I can't help it. Next, you're going to tell me you like the Panthers, and then we're just going to have to end this.
Girl, come. Hey, look, don't get up. We won 2 games last year. And that's it. Just we're not going to talk about that. We're going to keep that one on the hush, Tanya. But no, I mean, the experience was, it was amazing. You know, it's just like, for me, it's about playing, going on set, being able to play, just fill the room and just having fun. So, I mean, I think that was the best experience for me, just going up there, meeting these people and just working with them. I mean, especially with Kyla Pratt, that was pretty cool to work with her. You know, I've been watching her since I was younger, so she hasn't aged one bit.
I'm getting your business a little bit. So your ex-girlfriend told you you're pretty, you need to go model, and you became an actor. Did you thank her? Like,
I thanked her. It was definitely a blessing that she even just, you know, thought about that about me. So it was just really cool to learn that, and I just got into it. And like I said, it's just a huge passion of mine. I just eat and sleep this. So.
Man, I'm thrilled to have you guys here. I can't wait to see the movie, the whole thing, not just a bunch of trailers put together. Super excited. What do you want the people to take away from this movie, each of you? Because you both play a different role in this. So, James, what do you want the people to take away from this? And then Xavier.
You know, if you want to actually have a good time and you want to see what the people really think about, you know, politics and all these other things, like you want to see what the funny, the laughs, tonight there is a special screening in the major cities. We can see Not Another Church Movie, but otherwise the movie opens May 10th, which is tomorrow. We want you to take your family. We want you to take your friends. We want you to have a good time, and we want you to laugh. And then we want you to post and tell us what you think about it.
X.
Okay. I just want people to get out and just enjoy the movie. Like James was saying, just get out there and just get a bunch of laughs. Have a good time with your family, take your mother out, I mean, your kids, whatever you can do just to enjoy it and just take away from it, you know, and just post, like he was just saying, post about it. I mean, where I'm from, I have a lot of people that's going to go see it, you know, so it's this city is actually turned up to see it. And just a great opportunity for people to see something funny and creative and just, man, just all the actors that went in and did their job. And, you know, some sets you get on, people can be a little self-centered. So it was just cool being on this set because you watched everyone and they loved each other and they cared for one another, you know, the actors and stuff. So, man, I just hope that they go see it and just talk about it and just blow it up. That's the big thing. So,
hey, with this movie being your first, what are you taking from this to keep you pushing forward with your career?
Just to keep grinding. The big thing is, for me, it's about doing the work, actually. You know, that's the best feeling for me, just getting up there and being able to work with these people. But as far as taking everything from that, just comfortability in working in comedy. Just being on a comedy set is completely different than a, you know, a set that's dramatic. So it's just dope, you know, just taking that, that free space and being able to create and play. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you just go up there and you own your work, you know, your creative side. So just digging deeper into that and staying in class and just staying ready.
I hate to put you on the spot, but what did you learn from James? Because he has a pretty extensive career, and I want to know what you got from working with him.
Have fun, enjoy yourself, great guy. Just being able to work hard and be free in your work. That's what I got from him. And, you know, just all these red carpets that we did, you know, the love and everyone getting along with each other. I mean, that was beautiful for me. You know, so just being able to take that and him taking a chance on me when I first got there, he told me I did a good job and the audition. So just taking that love and that freeness and being able to play, and pray we can just make even more films and everything. So.
Well, a little less funny. We are a part of a club that no one wants to be a part of, and that is not having your mom for Mother's Day. What are you going to be doing on Mother's Day this year?
Probably I'm going to church. I think that's the big thing for me. Just being able to see everyone else's love with their mom, you know, that brings me joy. Cause sometimes I'm by myself. Ever since she's been gone, I was my best friend. That was everything to me, you know? So she raised me the best way she could. Unfortunately she was on drugs, and it just kept going and pushing. And, you know, I just pray that everybody can go out and see this movie. I mean, that'll make it 10 times better. But I'm going to go see the movie again Sunday, you know, and just reminisce in his love. And, man.
I love that. What about you, James? What are you doing on Mother's Day? Who are you celebrating?
You know, Xavier, your mother's here with you right now. You know what I mean? And I remember someone had told me that no one ever dies, man. They just move into the other room, you know? And on that day, everyone is going to be watching this movie, and we're going to have a good time. And you know what? I want to say, buddy, that working with you was a great experience, and no one would ever know that was your first time. And, you know, it's such an experience to work with somebody and to see them make something of something. And that's what you did for us. And you made that part special. You made this movie special. And your mom's going to see that.
Thank you. Thank you, James. I mean, it's amazing, man. It's a dream come true, you know? So I'm just looking for many more opportunities and just to keep working and enjoy this time, man. It was dope. And, you know, we had a great time in Hollywood.
Yeah, buddy.
Sounds like an inside joke. I guess I don't get that one.
Well, let me tell you what happened. I mean, we sent out 20 invitations in LA, and we got 680 RSVPs.
Wow.
So we passed out because we out to people who
I can't invite
our friends. We couldn't fit 350 seats. By the time we were done, it was 700.
Oh, James, you keep going in and out, bud.
Yeah.
Well, listen, again, I want to thank you guys for taking the time to share your experience, to share more about the movie. Let's go ahead and get people more excited about it, send people out, and continue to support both of you through your careers, because, you know, greatness never ends. And I am so looking forward to what's next from each of you. So again, thank you so much for being here, and good luck with everything. Keep in touch. Once you guys have been on our platform, Leaders and Learners, we are always a fan. We are family. We will support you. Just keep us posted on what you got going on.
Perfect. I can do that.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for showing up to the podcast where we all know that the best leaders are lifetime learners. When you get a sec, take a moment, leave a comment. What do you think about today's episode? And share it with someone that you know could use the gems that were dropped today. Follow and subscribe. You don't want to miss who's coming up next. You never know who could show up here and what they could say. For your professional needs, marketing, PR, communications, and leadership, make sure you follow us on all social media platforms at Sand and Shores, or hit us up at sandandshores.com. Again, thanks so much for showing up. We appreciate you, and we'll see you soon.